Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
From Coliseum Home Videos, it's the Wrestling Perspective Podcast. I know, I popped when I thought of that too. Petey came over and made me watch. We don't watch Impact anymore now that he's a company guy, and he made me watch some WWE stuff. And everyone we watched, it was like Coliseum Home Video. I'm like, God, we need to bring that back.
I mean, Coliseum Home Video was, it was definitely, they had those clamshells that were, you know, at least the first incarnation of Coliseum Home Video. The VHS cassette weighed about 6,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. You knew it was good quality. It was obviously, you know, made in Stamford, Connecticut. But I don't know if they're where they were made. But anyways, point I'm trying to make is that they were awesome. I loved them. I loved having those. You know, they had even the plastic over the actual covers. So, you know, you could have spilt your coffee or your beverage of choice on it and you just wipe it off. It was like a, it's like a 70s Buick.
Is it just me, or did like almost every cover have like that baby Chicago blue tint to it too?
No, there was some yellow ones. There was some black ones. There was wrestling bloopers, bleepers, and practical jokes. Wasn't there that one?
I think there was one.
I think there
Now I want to go back and see if I can watch any of that old stuff.
Well, yeah. And then as obviously Coliseum Video progressed and, you know, things became cheaper to manufacture, then it became in a, like the little, you know, cardboard, you know, clamshell slide in thing. You know what I mean? So the giant plastic covers kind of disappeared by the wayside.
Now we're always going to be presented by Coliseum Home Video. That's just the way it's got
to
be, right?
It might have to be. I mean, there's other kinds of video companies, Dennis. I mean, you maybe should do some research. But I know that we got a lot of emails.
You're the tape trader guy. Just remember, you're the tape trader guy. I missed out on it, and that's one of my big regrets in life is missing out.
Well, you didn't miss out. I mean, other than the friendships that I still have with certain guys, you know, I would say that it's a bygone era. And I almost feel like, you know, because of how you can find wrestling other than the Peacock channel, because they edit it and they fuck it up. They have destroyed history. It's like, you know, it's like going back and rewriting a book, you know what I mean? You know, or changing parts of a book. It's like, you don't do that. You know, it was written at a time and it was done at a time, regardless of how you feel about it now. If it's going to hurt your feelings or whatever, you don't change art. Sorry.
Well, let's jump into these emails. Nick H. from Penn State wants to know, just the other day, I went down a rabbit hole of Curtis Axel. What do you think went wrong with him? And if you could try to resurrect his career now, how would you do it?
I don't know. You can answer that one.
You know what? I think he would be one of those guys where leaning on his father's accomplishments would probably work out for him. You know, you had Ted DiBiase Jr. That worked out well for him. And I always kind of felt like with a guy like a Curtis Axel, if he went clean shaven and kind of did a Perfect-esque gimmick, you know, the son of Mr. Perfect, you know, I was born into perfection, something like that, that might work out for him.
Yeah, I feel like that could definitely work out for him in this for a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could definitely write on that. I mean, I think that, you know, Dustin Rhodes did it. Obviously, Cody Rhodes did it. I mean, maybe Bray Wyatt should have done a little bit more of that.
Bo Dallas, you know, should have, for sure.
But then there was examples. It's like Bobby Duncombe Jr. I mean, yes, he was successful to a certain extent, but he never actually went up the card. Or even, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of examples of how being, just because you're a second generation or third generation wrestler, doesn't give you, you know, that's not like the fast track, you know, up the card, up the, you know, up the food chain.
What decisions in your life do you have to make to go down a Curtis Axel rabbit hole to start with? How does that happen?
Well, you know what? I understand, because it's like I have had those moments with Doink the Clown. So,
really?
Yeah. I mean, some of that 80s WWF stuff, 90s WWF stuff. You know, I, you know, Best of Repo Man. Count me in, you know?
Okay. Repo Man, yes.
But, you know, Barry Darso was obviously rad. So, I mean, you know, whatever. It's not like I'm going to go search out the Best of Sean Stasiak.
Shout out to Sean, who I get like an email about probably once a month about how he wants to come on the show from him.
Well, you know, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Very sweet of him. Thank you for the email. Longtime watcher, I assume. Adam Carman from Jacksonville, almost 20 years in WWE, acted in a few movies, never left WWE to try to go to Hollywood, never jumped to another company. If there's any WWE star that deserves a break, Ric Flair, 16-time world champion, it's Randy Orton. Do you agree?
No.
I agree with you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I remember when Randy Orton first came up. And yeah, I mean, I don't think that he's that. I mean, I understand he's great. He's a great wrestler. I understand why wrestlers love him too. I totally get it. But as far as a charismatic actor, I don't think he is one. There's something, I don't know. But then again, I'm not an agent. So
when I think of Randy Orton, and it's not a insult, but I think of like a Triple H. Triple H, when you think of the greatest of his era, he comes in, what, 3, 4, maybe somewhere around there. He was never one.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't really hold those guys in high regard, you know, in honesty. I think like it was Randy
Orton.
Sure, but I could name 10 other guys that I preferred better, you know, so.
Right.
You know,
and the
thing
with Randy is, the point is, you know, him and Triple H were never the top guys. They were.
I feel like Chris Jericho like really learned a lot from Triple H, because he inserts himself in everywhere that he doesn't really need to be.
You know, that's what happens with us guys with podcasts. We all try to get the scoops, I guess.
I mean, it's no, you know, slag on anybody. I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but it's like there's certain things I'm just like, why are you even there? Why are you doing this? Like, you know, and I felt like Triple H became that, and I see that, you know, now. So
Chad wants to know, I think WWE screwed up by not letting Sami Zayn beat Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. Another case for bad WWE booking. What do you guys think?
Well, I hate these armchair fucking bookers. It's like, you know, it's just because, you know, a certain section of the fans thinks that Sami Zayn should be champion doesn't mean that what they're doing isn't right, or you're going to like the end outcome. It's like you're talking about something that hasn't even unfolded yet. You know, we don't know how we're going to get to, you know, the main event at WrestleMania. We don't know how it's going to culminate between Roman and Cody. We don't know how it's going to unfold yet between Sami Zayn and the Usos or Kevin Owens. It's like it's the story still being told. And the fact that you say it's like bad booking, it's like it's ridiculous, because you know, we're talking about what I see is two future main event stars were made, you know, not bad booking. That's like, it's kind of like, I don't know. It seems like to be the new catchphrase, like, oh, it's bad booking. It's like, well, where did you get, tell me where you learned how to book. Tell me what company you were booking. And then it's kind of like, oh, that's bad music. It's like, well, you can say that all you want, but to somebody it's going to make sense to. Just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean it makes it bad. You know, it's just what you, and it sounds like, you know, I don't know. I fucking hate that. I think it's so fucking stupid. Anyways.
No, I 100% agree. And as much as I've enjoyed.
No offense to the guy who sent the question, but seriously, it's like, you know, you're a fan. Be a fucking fan. Don't, you're not the fuck, WWE is not going to hire you because of this. You know what I mean? Like.
I agree. And those guys get paid for it. You don't. And we all have our opinions. I get it. And I like watching this play out. It's been a great story. It's made Sami Zayn relevant for the first time in how many years? And Sami's always been a great middle of the card guy. He's enjoying some time on the upper echelons. He's shown that he can hang with the big guys. But to put a strap or a company around a guy like that, I need to see more than just one storyline. You I'm trying to think of some of the guys this has happened to. You know, Kofi Kingston. It took a long time for Kofi Kingston.
At Roman Reigns. Yes. For Christ's sake. How long did they build him where nobody gave a shit?
But
how many years? I still don't give a shit. I really still don't give a shit. Like, Roman Reigns does nothing for me. As a matter of fact, get the belt off of him as soon as you can. Whether you give it to Cody or if you give it to Sammy, it's totally fine to me. But my point, you go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just get passionate about this shit.
Oh, no. And I love sitting back and watching you go off. Like, this is great. Daniel Bryan, and you know, the one guy I was surprised it did work with was kind of Jinder Mahal for a short time, where he kind of, when they, you know, he won it overnight out of nowhere. I enjoyed that, but I don't see as Sami Zayn being able to carry that kind of momentum, getting a strap, and he'd have
it to might, immediately. I kind of feel like I've seen this before, where a guy like Ronnie Garvin, you know, becomes like the world heavyweight champion. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, it should have been somebody else. Now, Cody's never had a chance to run with that ball. I understand Sammy hasn't either. But the sheer simple fact that you've made, you know, every time that Cody gets on, like after that whole crescendo, and then you had that promo between Paul Heyman and the first one and Cody Rhodes, I literally forgot for a second. I felt like Cody had taken that back. You know what I mean? And I understand Sammy is one of the biggest, is probably the biggest baby face in the company right now. I totally get it. But the story's not done. That's the whole thing. The story for Cody is to meet Roman at WrestleMania. That is not done. So it's kind of like, then I feel like you're going to go back to WCW last year or two, where they're just pulling shit out of their ass just to make fans happy. And then the fans are so fucking fickle. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think that that's the way you book your company, is by listening to, sometimes you have to listen to the fans and you got to give the fans what they want. And maybe Cody will get the belt and it'll fizzle and it'll just be whatever. And then you look back in retrospect and say, maybe we should have done something different. But I feel like, stick to the plan and give Cody a chance to remind everybody why he's in that position.
Because we all think we're bookers. How would, if
I don't, though, that's the whole thing. I don't think I'm a booker. I'm a wrestling fan and I know what I want to see, you know, but go ahead.
As a wrestling fan, if someone comes to you and says, how would Lars book Cody going in to protect
him? I wouldn't.
Him?
No? I wouldn't. No, because that's the whole fucking point of being a wrestling fan. It's like suspension of disbelief. You're not fucking Dave Meltzer. We're not Dave Meltzer. I don't want to be Dave Meltzer. I'm not into that kind of thing. Like, I don't really care about certain things. You know what I mean? Like, what I want to do is be entertained when I watch wrestling. I want to love the guys I love and hate the guys I hate. And I'm probably 9 times out of 10 going to love the guys that I hate. Okay? You know, regardless of a few. So it's just like, I feel like being a wrestling fan today's modern wrestling fan, is probably not going to be here in 3 years. It's kind of like punk rock when we were kind of coming up. You know what I mean? The people that were there weren't there anymore. You know what I mean? They graduated college and they moved on. And I've seen that with wrestling fans too. So the ones that are really core and understand that, like, this is about being entertained and that suspension of disbelief or that storytelling, like, that's for me. And you call me old, call me whatever the fuck you want. I don't give a shit. Okay. I got the IC belt right there. So fuck you. But my point is that, like, for me as a fan,
you're spicy today.
Well, you know what? I think the internet's fucking stupid. Okay. It's like no one on there is fucking positive. It's all negative shit. It's fucking lame. You know what I mean? And it takes the fun out of it. It's like, this guy fucking sucks. Or if he was only booked right, like, what's your fucking wealth of knowledge of booking? Like, what if you were like tutelage, you know, your tutor was Dusty Rhodes or Jerry Jarrett or Jim Cornette or fucking Paul Heyman, and you learned under them and they taught you this skill, or who, and the list goes on and on and on, then cool. I will listen to you because I will feel like, you know, your ass from a hole in the wall. But when you're just online going, oh, it should be Sammy, blah, 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 or whatever it is, it makes no fucking sense. It's like, you know, I understand that's now part of being a fan and I try to have compassion for it, but I just see it way too much now and I'm just fucking over it. It's just like, just be a fan. It's like, you know, don't be the guy at the cell phone at the show, you know, right. Just don't be that guy.
Well, listen, wrestlingperspective@gmail.com, email us your questions, and let's see if we can get Happy Lars on next show. So don't ask so many dumb questions, people.
No, I don't think it was a dumb question. I really don't. And I'm not, you know, chastising the person who sent the email. I'm just saying, as a general rule, and maybe he just, you know, obviously uncovered something that's been deep inside of me, and there's nothing wrong. And I do appreciate the question, the fact that you listen to the show. It's super rad. But I mean, it's also, and maybe not everybody's going to agree with what I have to say, but that's the beauty of this fandom thing that we're all part of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I might have strong opinions, whatever. Next question, Dennis.
This is the end of the segment because in just a second, our guest will be showing up, and it's a badass guest this week.
I'm super excited.
Masha Slamovich is coming on. So hang on. We'll be right back. Lars Fredrickson, you've done it again, my friend. I go, hey, what are we going to do for a guest this week? You said, sit back, sip your coffee. I'm pulling a rabbit out of my hat, and I'm bringing the big guns, a badass. I'm like, really? Masha Slamovich, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. I'm super excited. Lars and I are both massive Impact fans, so to have you on is absolutely an honor.
Happy to be here with you guys today. You know, only a few days away from No Surrender. So what better things to do than discuss exactly how I'm going to become the next women's champion at Impact. Knockouts champion, actually.
And we're rooting for you because, you know, we bet against Mickey James last time she was on the episode. So we're going to do it again.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just in a general rule to bet against Mickey James because that always works in your favor.
She swerved us hard and we'll never forgive her for that. Yeah. So no, now we're rooting. We're team Masha for this weekend, just so you know.
And I'm going to be there live to see this. So I'm excited.
Hopefully you have front row seats is all I'll say.
Well, you know what? If Lou doesn't hook me up with front row, then we're going to, then I riot.
You know, I before we start recording, we were, you know, giving you some compliments and it kind of was leading into my first question. And I'll tie it into a conversation I had with PD Williams 2 weekends ago. We were talking about Lacey Evans and comparing her to a Sergeant Slaughter. And, you know, maybe they should build her up to be an American hero and then turn her like Slaughter did and, you know, with the Iraq War. And Pete said that would never work in today's wrestling fan in today's wrestling. And then when you came on, it got me thinking about back in the day, Russian characters, how they were viewed in the American eyes, and you coming in and being a Russian character. When you were creating the Masha persona, were you cognizant and did you kind of go back and watch old you know, Russian characters in American wrestling and pull from that?
Actually, I did not at all. I think that back then the characters were very, you know, stereotypically Russian, like wave the whole flag, USSR, communism thing. myself being Russian is me being proud of, you know, my heritage, my country, and my nation. And it carries through in my work because it's part of who I am, but it's not what I am as a whole. There's so much more to me than simply being Russian. But I'm glad that it comes off in such a strong way, because I've always wanted to represent my nation in a better way than it's viewed now globally. So, you know, here's the changing of perception.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I honestly feel like right now, as far as talent and as of like being a heel and a woman in, you know, in your division, like you're right now the...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Kind of the top heel. And I feel like it's because there's like this mystery with you with the Russian thing. And it's kind of like, it's something that we quite don't understand as Americans. And we've been force fed this sort of ideology about Russia, even currently to this day. Right. So do you tap into like the social sort of feeling of what America sort of, it sort of perceives Russia as, and I'm not going to try to harp on this. I just want to know, is that part of where you're finding your heeldom, so to speak?
I think that simply comes organically. You know, growing up and being a Russian person, there is some truth to the way that Russians are viewed globally, you know, being very cold and work oriented and strict. So that is my reality. So I suppose you are what your environment is, right? In a sense. So I think that's partially why it plays into it, because it's real and it's not force fed in any way.
And this is the last question I have on this subject. I am geek out when people who wrestle all over the world talk about other cultures and how their wrestling fans act. And I know a lot of people view American fans as wrestling hillbillies. But what is the wrestling scene like over in Russia? How do the fans react? Do they react like us? Do we react like them? I have zero clue what that whole pro wrestling scene over there is like.
The pro wrestling scene in Russia is not large by any means. It's actually mainly consistent of two promotions, Northern Star Wrestling in St. Petersburg and IWF Moscow, which is where I've wrestled when I was over there. And the wrestling fans definitely have exposure to the American indies, to stuff like GCW. You know, they're definitely very hot on CZW if we're talking about the Russian deathmatch crew, which exists kind of like the outlaws of the scene, running like wherever in people's backyards. But, you know, they get quite ultra violent with like barefoot glass death matches and setting guitars on fire, setting each other on fire, all types of insane stuff. So there's two promotions that are pretty much like, you know, indie style, but they definitely draw most of their like inspiration from stuff like WWE, and they watch AEW. And Impact as well, of course, is still over there. So there's that. And like I said, the rest is just like very deathmatch backyard. You guys can look some of the stuff up. There's Alex Nabiev is our most famous deathmatch guy.
I know who he is. Well, you know, I guess for me, you know, I first generation American, grew up in a, you know, my mom was from Denmark, so it's a totally different culture, totally different vibe. What was your gateway into professional wrestling? Because if you know, you're relatively pretty young, what was the first things that you saw that you were like, oh, I want to do this?
I don't remember like a specific match per se, but I definitely remember, you know, being super young, like 3-4 years old, and I saw SmackDown, and just after say like 10 minutes of watching, I was just so mesmerized, and I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do in life. And I guess I just never let that go, because everything else just seems so mundane and boring and doesn't lead to any great adventure in life. And I definitely thought that aside from loving wrestling for what it is, I also really loved the lifestyle and like the stories that I would discover later on from, you know, wrestlers who've lived that life and wrote books. And I thought that would be the kind of life I want for myself, as opposed to just staying in the same city I was born in.
If you thought your 2022 was phenomenal, and I viewed it as your coming out party, you are starting this fucking year off amazing. You're going for the Impact Women's Championship. Was it this weekend at No Surrender? Next month, GCW World Championship you're going for, I believe. I mean, holy shit. When did it all kind of click from you? Because it seems like last year, amazing. This year, you're now, you know, championship caliber starting a year off. I mean, I don't know if there's any woman that started a year off as hot as you are.
Well, 2023 is definitely going to be a year for everybody, including myself, to remember. But I don't think it ever just clicked. I think it's a culmination of this road to all of these little destinations, right? There's all these championship matches and big opportunities. And even those, as great moments as they are all stops along the road and the journey of professional wrestling. So I definitely think that partially it clicked for me way back when I was touring in Northern Canada doing like the Ice Roads tours, because I learned a lot from working in front of a small audience, but really getting to learn how to work and live the old school way. And then shortly after that, going over to train with Chigusa Nagayo at Marvelous during 2020 was basically like attending your master's program when it comes to pro wrestling. So I think coming back from Japan, I definitely was ready to hit the American indie scene with full speed finally starting in 2021. And it's all kind of been rolling nonstop from there, like a snowball down a hill.
Well, I've had the opportunity to see you on a few indies and watch you live, and the learning curve that you have, because you've only, you know, obviously been doing it for how long? What, 5 years now? 6 years?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, but you go in there as, you know, it feels like you've been doing it for a lifetime. Where do you think that your greatest, let me rephrase that question. Who was the pivotal person in your life? Because I know you just mentioned somebody there, but who was the pivotal person that kind of really sort of, you basically influenced you the most in professional wrestling?
I always attribute it to everybody, mainly the people, like I said, Chigusa Nagayo, Amazing Red, and Johnny Rods. The top three people that I had the most time learning from, and who each taught me a little bit of something different, but also, you know, all crosses over, all information goes in one. So definitely I give all the credit to my coaches and people who I've been able to learn from along the way, because even aside from the things they taught me in the ring or outside of the ring, it's the things that are in my mind that now I'm able to notice in my own work and self-correct. And that's how I grow. you know, aside from outside advice. So I think that my coaches were definitely the most pivotal people because they gave me the mind and the eyes to see pro wrestling in a different way.
There are very few wrestlers that cross over from deathmatch to regular professional wrestling that do it at each of them at a high level. And you're one of the few people that I've kind of seen in recent years that are able to do it at this amazing level. How do you switch off the two different modes? Because, you know, I was never a huge deathmatch guy until Lars and I started bumming around together, and he would send me stuff to watch, and it really opened my eyes to how different the two styles and clash against each other as a fan when you watch.
To me personally, versatility is one of the most important things in what I bring to the table in wrestling. So to me, there's not really a switch to switch off of. I find it very comfortable to go in any direction from, you know, technical wrestling to blood sport style to deathmatch to regular indie to TV to, you know what I mean? There's so many different styles, and in the hopes of becoming one of the greats of professional wrestling by the end of my career, I think that I have to master in every style as opposed to just one. And I enjoy them all very much. I definitely enjoy deathmatch, and there's like a special feeling once you're in there. It's hard to describe to people who don't enjoy deathmatch or haven't done deathmatch, but there's a certain kind of high that you just click into. And once you're going, and everything is crisp around you, and you're just hyper focused on the wrestling going on around you. And, you know, wrestling on Impact also has its highs because, you know, it's TV, big match, big pressure. So there's that.
So you're saying you like the pressure?
I've always been one to perform under pressure, yes.
Well, if you had, I mean, because, you know, we've obviously seen you, and if anybody knows anything about your career so far, that you've done all different kinds of and styles of wrestling. Do you have a particular one that you feel that you excel at better at this point? And what is that particular style? And what is maybe a style that you want to do more of? So it's a two-parter.
I don't think I have one in particular that I would like to do more of. I would just like to keep doing a little bit of everything. You know, it all depends on the person. It all depends on place and whatnot. So I always like the diversity in my wrestling schedule. So I hope that continues. And I definitely think that working with people from Japan who understand that style, and the girls who have trained over there, and the guys as well, I think I'm able to put on some of my best matches. For example, one of the first round matches is going to be myself against Fuminoru Abe in the Carrot Cup in Germany, 16 Carrot, coming up in March. So I'm very much looking forward to that match, as well as a match that's going to be during WrestleMania week, which will be myself versus Aja Kong for Prestige Wrestling. Some of the matches that I'm very excited for coming up in that style.
I think Lars and I, knowing a lot of guys and watching wrestling with them, and being able, when you watch wrestling with someone who's in the business and they open your eyes to what's happening next and how we consume wrestling, being in the industry, being now at a upper echelon level, does it change the way you view and you consume your wrestling?
I think the way that I view and consume wrestling changed immediately upon me beginning training, because, you know, you learn more things, you get to see it differently, you understand things differently as time goes on. So I truly think that me, like, entering the professional wrestling business was when it drastically changed. And I really don't ever think it went back to how I used to watch wrestling, but I don't find that to be a negative at all. I actually find that to be a positive, because some of my favorite matches, like Kenta Kobashi versus Misawa, I believe it was June 6th of 98 or June 5th or something of the sort. There's such a feeling that you can get on board with once you understand what's going on, so much more so as you keep going back to rewatch it, like throughout my career. I just find it to be very awesome. The more you understand it, the more you're able to take in what they're doing and what the story that they're telling.
In today's modern wrestling, there's much more of an opportunity for these dream matches. Like, you know, seeing Mercedes Moné, or, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, there's so many out there right now. Is there somebody, you know, and Mickie James, and do you look at this opportunity with Mickie James? I mean, was this something that, like, where you were, you know, on a personal level, were you like, this is a challenge I want to take because I'm going to learn a lot more? Or, you know, is this something that, you know, you've aspired to do, is wrestle at, you know, someone the caliber of a Mickie James? I know, you know, like, is this like a learning experience for you? Do you take it as that?
Of course it's a learning experience. Every single match that you're in, I believe, is a learning experience. And from every single opponent, you will learn something, be it little, be it big. It's always going to be something that you hold on to and something that makes you a better wrestler. I definitely, like most other wrestlers of my age, watched Mickie James while I was growing up. So I do think that's definitely not a match that I saw in my cards. Never really just envisioned it to happen, but here we are. And I think it's going to have a very interesting outcome, but I don't think it's going to be in Mickie James' favor.
That's fair. I guess where I was trying to go with my question is that because we can see these dream matches, is there somebody that you really want to get in the ring with now or work with now, you know, because you're kind of now sort of vibrating with the Mickie James, you're sort, you know, you know, Deonna Purrazzo, you know, so it's like you're sort of up there now. I mean, do you ever think like, well, now I want to go for this person or that person?
I think I want to go for every person. I think there's room in my schedule for a litany of opponents who I haven't gotten to wrestle yet. And I think that time will bring me all of them. I think, why stop at one? Why not take all of them? Be greedy.
That was the best non-answer I've ever heard. Holy cow. I'm going to give you a clap for that one. That was very sweet. I like that. I do want to deep dive in character development because we touched on it at the beginning of the show. And as we're winding down here, I geek out in the creative process of a person. And when you sit down and think of where you want the Masha persona to be 2 years from now, a year from now, 6 months from now, do you write out your ideas? Do you just let them come to you? How do you envision taking this character from today to the future?
Some of the best advice that I received in my career was just simply being told to go by feel. And I think that was very important for my character development, because I think feeling things out and just going by energy, going by feel, is honestly the best way to take it. I think that sometimes, me personally, if I get really too deep into something, it's really easy to like sink down a rabbit hole, overthink, and lose sight of the bigger picture. So I think instead of clouding my own judgment with that, sometimes it's better to just go by feel and take it as it goes.
Do you think because of the way that people are consuming wrestling these days, it's harder to stand out? Meaning that, you know, there's so many programs to watch. There's, you know, you got IWTV, you got Fight TV, you got, you know, however you want to see it. And a lot more people are streaming YouTube, so on and so forth. Did you find that from your experience, it was harder to kind of make a name for yourself?
I don't think it's harder at all. As a matter of fact, I think that makes it that much easier, especially if you make it a goal of yours to travel and to appear on every single one of those listed programs. It definitely requires time, effort, and a lot of work and a lot of travel, but all of those programs are there for the consumption and entertainment of wrestling fans who have more and easier access to so much pro wrestling that, you know, 10, 20 years ago would have never been available. So I think as a wrestler, we have to take advantage of these opportunities and make them work for us as much as we work for them.
Impact's No Surrender, February 24th, Nevada. I don't know if there's tickets left. If not, go get them. If that, go get this on any fight. I think there's other, maybe, just go Impact to Fight, Plus. Order it. Yeah, Impact Plus, get that every month. You can watch Masha wrestle every week there. First and foremost, where can people find you online? Because we're fans. Now we want everybody to follow you.
I'm on pretty much every program you might imagine, aside from TikTok. I will not be on TikTok, but I am on Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, where I just released my first ever one of many vlogs about my recent tour in Alberta. So you can find me at all these places, Cameo, so on and so forth, at Masha Slamovich. Pretty easy first and last name.
We're rooting for you, champ. I don't know if that's a kiss of death or not, but we're rooting for you. Bring us home that championship because, you know, you're family now. So you go do the good work for us this week.
You'll just have to tune in on Friday and watch it unfold in front of your very eyes.
Can't crack this nut. Cannot crack this nut. Well, thank you, Masha. Really appreciate you coming in and taking your time for us today. Good luck on Friday. And hopefully we'll see more of you in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.